We are now in
number 19 of the 36 lectures in this Practical Ministries course, and we're talking today about meetings. It is from chapter 12 of Pastoring the Nuts and Bolts. Before I get into that, for some reason I was thinking last night about what I said about leaving a church, and I think I left out something important, and that is when I went through that whole list of all the reasons that I was moved from church to church, I want you to know that I never felt like a failure in any of those cases, even though the people sometimes felt like they just would do anything to get rid of me. I always felt like I was doing what God wanted me to do. I had prayed through it, and I was confident about that. And I remembered when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, he told them, if you go into a village and people don't listen to you there, then shake the dust of that village off your feet and go to another one. He didn't say you failed if they don't listen. He said, go someplace where they will. So you have to balance that. You can't blame everything on the people, because sometimes you will make mistakes. But I just wanted to pass that along. Don't feel like a failure if the people don't necessarily go along with your ministry. All right, we are talking today about meetings, and our key verse is Acts 15:6. The apostles and elders met together to resolve this issue. This is, again, the Jerusalem Council deciding whether or not Gentiles, non-Jewish people, had to be circumcised and follow the Old Testament law, in other words, become essentially Jews before they could become Christians. And they decided that, as we said in the lecture about authority and decision-making, they decided that by having a meeting, calling a council, getting a bunch of people together and talking it out and seeking God's guidance. That's what meetings are for. They are for getting different people together and communicating. Now, sometimes there are issues that you can deal with a text or an email or a phone call. And if that's okay, you don't need to get together face-to-face, but there are a lot of issues where it's good to have all the people involved face-to-face, where they can hear and see the reactions of each other and share different ideas and work together. So that's what meetings are about. In college, I studied engineering. And there was one course that I took that was taught by the dean of the engineering school, and he taught us that in a big company, people from different departments talk different languages. And they were all speaking, in this case, America, they were all speaking English, but still, they don't understand each other. The design people don't understand the finance people, the manufacturing people don't understand the marketing people. The legal department, nobody understands what they're talking about. They all think they're speaking the same language, but they don't understand each other. And the problem is they all have to work together. And that requires communication and planning and problem solving. And those things require meetings. So the goal of this particular course was to learn to interpret all of those languages to where we could explain each to the others. And sometimes it's even funnier than that. I had a summer job working construction, and one of the engineers was from India, and one of the foremen came from a part of the country, way out in the country up in the mountains, where he spoke with an accent that I could hardly understand. And of course the engineer spoke with an accent from India, and they could not, they were both talking English, but they could not understand each other at all. And when they needed to communicate, they would call me over. And Shri would say something, And Billy would look at me and say, "What did he say?" And then I would repeat the same words in English, in the same language, but Billy could understand it. And then Billy would answer back, and Sri would look at me and not understand it, and I would have to repeat it again in English, so that the same language Billy spoke, so that Sri could understand it. Churches, ministries, also have different kinds of people. Not with different, I mean, you may have people with different physical languages, but people who think differently, people who use different kinds of words to express what they're saying. And the pastor, the ministry leader, the minister, is often the one that has to interpret. So that is a big part of your responsibility in a meeting. Now, a couple lectures ago, I think when we were talking about decision making, we talked about the difference between vision and management just a little bit. The strategy versus tactics, big picture people versus detailed people, the dreamers versus the planners. Different kinds of people think in different ways and get things done in different ways. You have vision people and you have management people. Visionaries are impatient with the details of managing. They have a big picture and they have this great idea in their head, this vision of what they want to get done, and they put it out there and they just kind of expect that it's going to happen. Hands-on people want to know the details. They want to know, okay, how are we going to do this? What are the nuts and bolts of how we're going to get this done? And they can sometimes feel like visioning is unrealistic nonsense. And you can have this in a church, and the pastor can get stuck in the middle of it. The pastor's on the phone with his secretary. He's climbing out the window, and he has a sign up a list of proposed budget cuts, and he's on the phone and he's saying, "Mrs. Simmons, the program people are at my east door, and the building people are at my west door, the visionaries in the east and the management coming in on the west. I'm going to lunch." And he's going to lunch out the window. He doesn't want to run into either of them. One of the first things you need to do is recognize which kind of a person you are. Are you a visionary? Or are you an operations person, a detailed person? Recognize which kind you are. Neither one is better than the other. All are necessary. But you need to make allowances for the other kind. You need to recognize that not everybody thinks the way you do. And people who don't think the way you do, people who don't approach problems the way you do, are not wrong. You just need to learn how to work together. And knowing which one you are will help you make sure that you make allowances for the other kind, because you'll just automatically make allowances for the kind of people that think the way you do. Different kinds of people, different kinds of goals for meetings, trying to figure out the direction, the big picture is one kind of meeting. Trying to figure out the details of how we're going to do it, that's a different kind of meeting. I call them vision meetings and management meetings. You could look at them as where to go versus how to get there, or what to do versus how to do it. Figure out which kind of a meeting you need to do, to have, which kind of people, what kind of problem are you going to solve? Is it a direction problem or is it a detail problem? And structure your meeting accordingly. Invite the people who need to be there. And if possible, don't invite the people who will get it off track. And either kind of person can get the other kind of meeting off track. If you're having a vision meeting where you're looking for the big picture, and a detailed person is there, they're constantly going to be interrupting and asking, "But how do we do that? But what about this? But what about that?" those things are important, but you have to wait until you get the vision hammered out and finalized. The operations meetings, the management, the detail meetings, are also just as necessary and just as important, but if you have a visionary, a big picture person in that meeting, they will either fall asleep and interrupt everybody with their snoring because they're not interested in the details, or they'll constantly be saying, hey, wait, I've got an idea. What if we go off in this other direction? And that will just throw the meeting off. So don't try to combine the different types of meetings. And that is just an example. That's one of the most important ways, or one of the most common ways, combining different kinds of meetings, inviting the wrong kinds of people to the wrong kinds of meetings, is one of the most common ways to violate one of the most important rules about working with any kind of volunteer organization, any kind of people who are giving their time. And actually, in a business, it doesn't make sense to pay people to do things that they shouldn't be doing either, but don't waste people's time. Don't waste people's time. Don't ask people to come to a meeting where they're just going to sit there and feel like, why in the world am I here? Or get frustrated. So that kind of raises a question. Should you then have your meetings only when they're needed, or is there value to having a regularly scheduled meeting? Most organizations, I think, have at least some meetings on a regular schedule. They have a monthly board meeting or whatever it might be. And these can be good and they can be bad depending on the problem to be addressed, depending on the purpose, what you're going for, who's going to be there. Vision people may need a scheduled meeting to get them thinking and drinking. Thinking and dreaming. You're going to have to get a drink here. Vision people may never even think about some of these big questions until you get them all together and ask them the question in a meeting. So they may see the meetings as where the work gets done. And if you don't call a meeting, they never think about those issues, and so the visioning doesn't happen. Management people, on the other hand, operations people, detail people, generally should only meet when it's necessary to get them together for communication, to let them know something in a way that can't be easily communicated some other way, or where you think there will be a lot of questions for clarification or alterations. Consultation, when they need to all ask each other certain things to help each other do their particular part. Cooperation, so they can schedule, okay, how can I help you do this and that. Management type people tend to see meetings as interruptions to their work. Here I was getting this done, and it was important stuff, and I was getting it done, and you stopped me and made me come sit in this meeting. That's how they tend to look at it. So know which kind of people you have and which kind of meeting you need, and try not to waste people's time. Okay, have you ever been in a bad meeting? The odds are, if you've been in more than one meeting in your life, you've probably been in a bad meeting, because most meetings, quite frankly, are not run very well. But there can be excellent meetings. Some meetings can be very, very worthwhile. And after 38 years of experience, I've put together what I think are the elements of a good meeting. These are in more detail in the book, but make sure that people know, the people who need to be there, the people who are involved should know that the meeting is there, when and where and why and what they need to be prepared for, and attendance, who's going to be there, who needs to be there, who doesn't need to have their time wasted. Leadership, who's going to be in charge of the meeting, who's going to be running it. The minister should not always run the meeting. Very often, it's best if they don't. Different forms of church government, which is polity, is the word for a form of church government, the way that you do things. Different polities do different, have meetings in different ways, and in some of them, there are at least certain meetings where the minister is in charge of it. In my denomination, there was one particular meeting where the minister was in charge. That was the meeting for choosing the people, the church officers, the nominating slate to be elected for church officers, but not any others. Other polities do it differently. So if you are not leading the meeting, be careful about who it is that is going to be leading the meeting, because sometimes you can get people who just like to hear themselves talk. The pastor is the one there looking shocked, and all the other members are asleep, and the leader standing up there saying, "It's been moved that we adjourn. Is there a second?" In other words, the pastor suggested, "Isn't it time we quit this meeting? Look at the clock. It's 11 o'clock at night." But they're going by Robert's Rules of Orders, which we'll talk about in a moment, and that requires somebody else to say, "Yes, I agree," and they're all asleep. So the leader goes on and says, "No, the motion dies for lack of a second. Let's continue with my report." You don't want to be in the position of that pastor saying, "Oh my goodness, look at this. How am I going to get out of this? We're going to be here all night." And so Robert's Rules of Order is a set of called parliamentary procedure. It's rules for how to have appropriate discussions and voting and all of that kind of thing for a meeting of a very large number of people. It's used in, or something very similar, used in Congress in America, used in Parliament, I believe, in any way it's called parliamentary procedure in various different countries. The problem is a lot of people try to bring those rules down to a very small meeting. And you could see this meeting had eight people in it. I've known meetings with three people where they tried to follow Robert's Rules of Orders and want seconds and points of orders and substitute motions and amendments and all kinds of stuff. And if you've got a meeting that is the size that most of your meetings probably ought to be, you don't need to be nearly that formal. Just let people talk, have somebody in charge to keep people in line, not let somebody go off on a red herring, get off track of what you're there for. But in general, you will find that in general, most of you will wind up agreeing on most of the points in your meeting. Pretty much everybody there. If it's a really contentious point and you need to take a vote and it comes out to be a very close vote, it may be better to just put off the decision for another time if you possibly can, rather than have half of your leaders opposed to what you're doing and therefore maybe not even supporting it, not even working with you on it. So leadership is important. God presence. The first three things, notice, attendance, leadership, happen before you get to the meeting. Once you get into the meeting, you already know who the leader is, who's there. So the first thing you want to do once you're there, and it begins with prayer beforehand, is invite God to be present in a special way. Recognize that He is there. Recognize that when two or three of you are gathered in His name, He is there in their midst, and that doesn't just apply to a worship service. If you're gathered for ministry decision-making, you are certainly in His name. You are certainly there as His followers. And so invite God's presence and seek God's guidance in your meetings. An agenda is usually a good idea. It doesn't have to be real formal, but an agenda is a list of the things you're going to talk about, the decisions that need to be made. Sometimes it will list a person who's been doing something and is going to give a report on it, and so you have the name of that person next to the item on the agenda. It's good if that can be distributed ahead of time so people know what to be prepared for. It should go out as part of the notice or the invitation, actually, or at least some form of it. Meetings can be structured in different ways. There's kind of a standard structure, at least in American church meetings. I don't know about others, but a standard structure where they start with reading the minutes of the last meeting, and we'll get to minutes is just the records, the notes that were taken, to make sure that everybody agrees that that's correct, then getting a report from the finance committee, then going down a list of old business that was left over from a previous meeting, and then asking if there's any new business that's not on the agenda or dealing with any new business that is, and then asking if there's anything else, and then setting, notifying the next meeting, and then moving on. That can generally work pretty well, but it's not set in stone. There's no place in the Bible that says you have to have meetings starting off with approving the minutes. So structure the meeting according to what you're trying to do. The kind of meeting I just said is much better for an operations kind of meeting, or an official, these are going to be the official notes that go in the records in case we need to look at them 10 years from now kind of meeting. That may be a very bad structure for a visionary meeting. Decision making can be done by a number of ways. The most popular, I think, nowadays probably is voting. But as I already said, it's best if you can just keep talking it out and then wind up with the person in leadership saying at some point, it sounds like this is what we're all saying. As a matter of fact, if you look in Acts chapter 15 in the Jerusalem Council, that's what James did. He listened to the whole thing, and then he stood up, and he said, this is what it seems like we're hearing here. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to me that this is what we're all agreeing on. And he stated it, and everybody in a nice, clear way. And there was opportunity if anybody, it's not in, stated there, but I'm sure there was opportunity if anybody wanted to object and say, no, I don't think that's what we said, then to modify the statement. But the leader should feel free to say, okay, I think this is what we're hearing. Have I got this right? Does everybody agree that this is what we're agreed on? That can save a whole lot of time if you just do that instead of waiting for it to go all through a bunch of Robert's Rules of Orders. Now, voting can be a good way to get a decision done, but it can be more of a means of revealing where the splits are, revealing the divisions, the things that need to be dealt with. Now, I think I put in the book the story of the pastors in the hospital sick, and the chair of the board comes and says, Pastor, I want you to know that the board hopes that you're going to get well soon by a vote of 5-4. Meaning four of the people hope he doesn't get well soon. So decision making. Figure out what works best for you. And it may be that in your setting, your culture, there's some other way that works. Go with it. Record keeping is very important. I don't know how many times I've gone into a meeting and we said, well, okay, it's time for our annual such and so. How did we do that last year? And nobody could remember. Or we said, last time we said we were going to do this, and I think we said we were going to do that on July 23rd, and somebody else said, no, I thought it was June 23rd. And then they get back and forth, and nobody knows. And the only way those can be resolved, other than having a whole previous meeting all over again, is to look at the records. So it's important to have somebody appointed to write down the records of what goes on in the meeting. And then that's the purpose of getting the minutes approved at the beginning of the next meeting so everybody can agree, or correct if the secretary got something wrong. Record keeping. My goodness, we're running out of time. Okay. Assignments, make sure that people know who is expected to do what and when and that they're willing to do it. Make sure you have plans in place for whatever needs to happen next. If this is a subcommittee that needs to go to the whole church board to get approved or needs to get approved by somebody else, set that up. Make sure you are, if you need some kind of approvals for this kind of decision, make sure you get that and oversight of who's going to be making sure it all follows through the way that we agreed. Report to the congregation. Let the people in your ministry know what's going on, what you're planning to do. And then set a time to evaluate later on. Did this go the way we wanted it to? What are we going to do about it? One quick word. There is the meeting, and then there is the meeting after the meeting. In America, we call those parking lot meetings. People are in there. The meeting, and they all go through everything, and then the meeting's over, and they go out, and as they're going to their cars, they stand around in the parking lot in little groups, and they rehash the whole thing. And sometimes it can be very important to know what's going on in there, because sometimes it can be a little group of dissatisfied people who are making plans for how to undermine and undercut and make sure that terrible decision that the whole group made doesn't actually happen. So, pay attention to the parking lot meetings. And, of course, start in prayer, end in prayer, soak the whole thing in prayer. And I will see you next time.